Hello, everyone. This is Ashley Pfeiffer.
And Ariel Brooks Stevens.
And you're listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley. We're coming to you on Reggae Rocks Kendall County, and we will be with you the first Saturday of every month from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you've missed an episode, they are always available to listen to on the Reggae Rocks Kendall County app. Just look under the podcasts. You can contact us on...
We are on Facebook at The Closing Table. You can also send us an email at closingtable@gmail.com. Instagram is also at Closing Table. We'd love to hear from you, take your questions, or just get your take on our conversation.
Yeah. If there's something y'all want to talk about or you want to hear us talk about, just let us know. We're happy to cover, you know, whatever.
Just about anything.
Just, well, yeah. I guess we better put a caveat on that. Just about everything.
Oh, gosh. So okay. How have you been?
Good. How about you?
Busy.
Busy? Well, I'm not busy really in real estate, but we do have some exciting news, right?
Yes. We have dropped children at college.
Yes.
At the same college. At the,
which is so weirdly random.
Yes.
Weirdly random. But yes, at the same college.
Yeah.
And this is my baby. So I am empty nesting, and I think you still got it.
I've got one gone, one leaves in a month for the mini-mester session, and then I've got still one in high school, so.
And what grade is he in?
He's a junior.
He's a junior.
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't have long.
No, and he might graduate early, so.
Wow.
I could have three in college next year, which means
that's
I'm
gonna
gladly
hurt.
Accept as many donations as people would like to submit here at the closing table.
I keep saying that, you know, it was expensive having one in college, but it's going to hurt to have two. I can't even imagine three. I would have
really
to take to the bed, I think.
It's one of those things that you have to say, all right, the good Lord, and I'm going to take it one day at a time.
There you go. There
that's
you
all
go.
I can do.
Well, so that's the excitement going on in our lives, I guess. So
yes, it'll calm down. I'm excited. Football season's coming.
I know. And cool weather. They told me a cool front was coming, but they lied because I went out to walk yesterday and it was so hot yesterday afternoon.
Well, it's so awesome because they're mowing fields at the middle school.
Yep.
And college football starts this weekend. I'm ready.
I am excited too. Ready for fall for sure.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so market-wise, I don't know. I know one of these times we're going to come on and we're going to talk about we are so busy we can't keep our head above water.
We are going to.
It's coming. That's what I think. It's coming. It's not here yet.
It is coming.
But it's a coming.
Yeah, and I thought it would be a good idea to maybe just give a little bit of an update. I think one of the most overreaching things that we hear is, oh my gosh, it is all doom and gloom. And if you read the news and watch the news, that's all you're going to see. I mean, fear sales.
Right. So. Yeah. Clickbait. I will say, though, that I have an app that does news, and it's I think it's called Newsbreaker or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, like middle of the day, randomly breaking news, and it was interest rates are falling and they're about to start cutting them. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Well, yes, that's what everybody thinks is going to happen. Like, that's what the experts, quote unquote, say.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just be honest. When we lived through 2023 and the experts were saying,
yeah,
interest rates are coming back down by the end of the year, and they did not.
Yeah, and here we are, 25.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, depending on where you get your news, I tend to, maybe it's just my nature, but I tend to really like to work in facts versus feelings.
Yeah.
Because business is so wrought with feelings and it's
right.
Hard. But if you look at the facts, bottom line is COVID is over. It is done.
It's been gone. Yeah.
It has been gone for a long time.
And still, I have people say, oh, she works from home because of COVID.
Yeah. No, she doesn't. She works from home because her employer doesn't want to pay for rent.
Yeah.
But I think it's been very interesting just looking at some of the numbers that really, we've just tilted back to the way things were in 2018 and 2019, which is very hard for all of us to get through sometimes because, you know, we all got to do a little bit of hustle.
Yeah.
Things are just a little bit different. For anybody who purchased a home for the very first time within that 2021 to 2023 period, if you need to sell now, it's just a different market. You just got to know that going in. But yeah, I thought we'd just hit on a few points and, you know,
okay,
maybe ease the angst for some of our listeners. And again, provide information because you don't know what you don't know.
That's exactly right. And we're not attorneys and we're not lenders and we're not financial whatevers.
Financial advisors.
Yep. Nope. We just are giving you info based on what we do all day, every day.
That's
and
right.
Take it for what it's worth.
Yes. So one of the things that I thought was most interesting based on the information that came out, and again, 2025, we're still going to project through the end of the year because we're not there and no one has a crystal ball.
Right.
But interest rates have come down over the last several months, which is wonderful. I did not check interest rates before we started this podcast, but my last update was, I think, FHA and VA were at 6.25%, which is down considerably mm-hmm. from earlier in the year when they were as high as 6.7 and 6.8.
Mm-hmm.
Experts seem to think that by the end of this year, conventional loans will be around 6.25. Everybody wants them to go to 6. For some reason, that seems to be a magic number.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a feel-good number. I don't even know if that's a realistic number. But
right.
everybody seems to think that we're going to get back down there. One of the things that I thought was very interesting is the hit to new construction. I'm not talking about custom homes where people purchase their lots and then they hire architects and builders to build their lot, but strictly new homes, for instance, from a spec builder.
Right.
That the months of inventory have increased to the point where we're now seeing incredible prices on new build homes.
Right. And you're talking like the box builders,
correct.
Right? You're yeah,
correct.
Okay.
We're also seeing what I think is an exceptional amount of money towards closing costs, and whether that's for upgrades or money towards your down payment or anything like that, it makes it hard for resale homes to compete. But when a builder is willing to give you $20,000
right.
to do with what you want or what you need, that's pretty good.
And my understanding is they're willing to finance those in the fours.
Yes.
Money, I mean, that is yeah. ludicrous because they need them off their books.
Correct. Because they can't start building something else until they get those gone.
Right.
So right now, nationally, there's about 9 months of inventory in the new home market. Now, for our area, I think that's a little bit less.
What's it supposed to be? Is there a magic number there?
You know, I don't know that there's a magic number. I think that 3 months supply is what we hear, 3 to 4 months.
It's what you like to see. Like when you're in a normal, healthy market.
Yeah, I think we dipped below the 3%.
Oh, during COVID, there was nothing for sale.
If
there was 10,000 people bidding on it.
Yes. The new home construction market was like, oh, my. But the thing is at that time, though, they weren't offering these incentives. They certainly were not interested in paying realtor commissions. Now you get them going, I'll give you 6%, just you, all by yourself.
Yeah.
To go sell your stuff, which mm-hmm. is, you know, it's an interesting turn. But they weren't offering the closing costs and the rate buy downs and all of that other good stuff. So I think if you look online, anybody can look online and
right.
see the prices are starting to decrease for new home builds, and they're starting to have to include incentives that they just didn't have to do before.
Right.
Which I think is very, very interesting. One thing too is that in 2021, over 6 million homes sold nationally. And this year, they're estimating that it's going to be 4 million. So when you look at that sort of information, because in 2019, it was around 4.2 million homes.
Oh, really?
So if you look at it, it's almost like a horseshoe type
yeah.
thing, where in 2019, we started to see the increase, and then now we're coming back down.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it brought a little bit of comfort to know we've been here before.
But you know, when I think back of 18 and 19, those were not really good years. You know, I mean,
yeah.
they just really weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping this is not the norm.
We all adapt to the norm.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Home prices are starting to come down a little bit. And one of the things that we've seen is that, you know, traditionally in real estate, you want to look at what has sold over the last 3, 6, 9, 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Things are so much different today than they even were 12 months ago. And although our sales are up a little bit in certain price points, especially in the luxury home market, more homes have sold this period from January to August
mm-hmm.
this year versus January to August of last year. I think, again, the media seems to really fuel a lot of this with angst over tariffs, jobs, inflation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can all agree that inflation has definitely impacted you no matter what price.
Right.
No matter what poverty level you live at.
Right. Because we all go to the grocery store and it hits hard.
Yes, it does. And then the trickle-down effect, if everybody was raising their prices, we started seeing people raising their prices across the board. Your mm-hmm. landscaper probably charges more. Your housekeeper charges more. And then there's that whole trickle-down effect of they have to live too.
So, right.
Everybody's feeling a little bit of a pinch. In industry terms, we call it a market correction. So we're probably going to start seeing a market correction with interest rates as well as home prices. That's not an easy pill for a lot of people to swallow. Because
right.
if you purchased between January of 2023 or all of 2023 and any time before today, you might be taking a little bit of a hit depending
yeah.
on if you bought at the absolute height of this market. Again, information is power. So knowing that going in, just helps you strategize with your realtor a little bit differently
yeah.
if you need to sell. From the buying side of thing, what I think is really what's interesting is that no one wants to go back and acknowledge the disappointment buyers had when the market was absolutely insane. I can't tell you how many buyers I worked with who settled for the house that they now live in.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't enough rooms or wasn't enough space or wasn't the ideal location and on and on and on and on and on. But these days, buyers have so much choice.
Right.
Which fuels sort of the weird scenario where you've got four houses in a neighborhood that have been sitting for 60 days. And then this one comes on and it looks exactly the same, but it sells. So, and that's
yeah.
what I scratch my head with that
right.
all the time.
But I always say, you know, so many people go in and they purchase a house, you know, they feel it when they walk in the door.
Yes.
And that's, you know, for sellers that are like, I've had my house on the market for, you know, 262 days and blah, blah. I'm like, well, you know what? Your buyer just hadn't walked through that door yet.
Right.
You know, because when it's the buyer for that house, it is what it is, but
right
it's so
place.
Emotional. And we've talked
yes.
about this before,
yes.
you know, that this whole industry is based on emotion. You know, when you're dealing with the residential side of it, not the commercial really, and not, you know, some of the land and whatnot, but
right.
man, these houses, it is so emotionally driven.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during COVID too, but to speak to the point that you were saying, I cannot tell you how many people I would sit down with at the closing table to sign papers on their brand new home. And they would say, oh, this was the fifth contract.
Mm-hmm.
This was the seventh contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't really like this house, but, you know, and now talking about a bitter pill to swallow, they paid so much for it. They have a fabulous interest rate,
yes.
right? But they paid so much for it. And now, you know, if they want to sell it, they're definitely in a different position.
Yes.
And so 100%. As the buyers who came through that market, guess what they think or what they want, really? They want to have multiple offers and get $100,000 over asking.
Oh, yes.
And we're not there.
No. We've been there for a little while.
No.
Which is interesting. And I think, sadly, it's just now, people are just now starting to realize, you know, one thing we were just talking about this before we started the podcast, that regardless of if interest rates come down, there are going to be people getting back into the market. People are buying,
mm-hmm.
which means sellers are selling. Something will give, if you will. People are just going to have to suck it up. Sounds terrible. But
right.
I mean, for those of us who are a little older, I mean, I remember my parents complaining about an 18% interest rate.
Right, right.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
We'll probably never have to suffer through that again. But
I mean, when I first started here, fives and sixes were good.
Yeah.
I mean, we thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
so, but again, you know, the mentality has changed. We had such low interest rates for so long. We've got a whole generation that doesn't know anything but that.
Correct.
You know, so it does take a hot minute for everything to level out and that market correction to happen. And I agree, you know, it will happen because this is a cyclical, little fickle industry.
Yes. And, you know, as a kid, I always remember my dad and granddad always saying, just study your history, because then you realize
mm-hmm.
that we've probably been here before in some form or fashion. One thing that has been a little bit unexpected was the appraisal process. Now, it has been years since I had an appraisal come back not great. But
mm-hmm.
when you start seeing prices of homes in the 1.2s, 1.3s, and the appraiser comes back and says it's worth $750,000.
Yikes.
Yowza. So I think sellers and buyers need to understand that, yes, in that situation, you can regroup with your agent and you can regroup with your lender. And if that lender isn't willing to change it, then you can get another lender. That is just an extreme example.
Right.
But I think it is something to take into consideration, because what sold 12 months ago at a certain price point is probably not selling today at that same price point, depending on what it is.
Right.
And so appraisers are also really struggling to find out what is the true value. I mean,
yes,
that's, I don't envy their job.
No. And you know, back before the mortgage meltdown, it used to be that I knew all the appraisers. I dealt with them. Mm-hmm. We received the invoice. We took care of them at closing, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Right then the mortgage meltdown happened, and now everybody kind of has to draw these appraisers out of a hat. So we went through a very rough time mm-hmm. where we would get, literally this is the example I give. I got an appraisal for a house in downtown Bernie, and this was not the height of the market, but it was a great market still, right?
Yeah.
And it was $70,000. The appraisal came in $70,000 less than what the sales price was.
Wow.
And I was like, how could this be? I mean, we're all scratching our head. Like, this house should have already had equity in it based on that sales price, according to, what everything around it was selling for.
Yeah.
Well, the gentleman that appraised it was out of Flatonia. I don't even know where Flatonia is. And I'm not joking. I really don't. And out of...
You made that town up.
Right? I probably should have looked it up as many times as I was told this story. But, he appraised that house like it was sitting in downtown Flatonia, not downtown Bernie. Wow. And so, we've been through the struggles.
Yeah.
And now, for a very long time, we have had no struggles. And in the past month and a half, I've had 3 appraisal problems.
Yeah.
So that just speaks to what you're talking about, that it's coming.
Well, and I think part of the challenge is you've got buyers who are desperate. And so they're, for lack of a better term, they're making desperate decisions. They're choosing discounted lenders. They're choosing a lender that they can't necessarily look in the eye.
Right.
You're not talking to the same person every time.
Uh-huh.
But they're touting their services as a discounted lender, either in fees, interest rates, whatnot. But they're also contracting with appraisers who aren't knowledgeable about our area. They're maybe not even stepping foot outside their house from wherever it is they're working.
Right.
And it's starting to create some serious issues.
Yes.
I mean, all real estate is local, and it's imperative that buyers do their homework. And, just because a lender might be just a few points higher, or I should say lenders maybe a few points less on your interest rate, you've got to be very, very careful of what you're actually getting.
Right.
It is.
Because it can create real problems. If you get an appraisal that is, significantly undervalued, like Ariel said, it's not just let's send another appraiser out there. You've got to start the whole thing over again.
Yes.
And that becomes a mess. And then, you've got, it's just a mess. Enough said on that.
And unfortunately, it kind of boils down to, you want to work with people who are competent. You want to work with people that have your best interest at heart. And sometimes you get what you pay for.
Yeah, look at the reviews. I'm not even kidding. Mm-mm. I think most people do that. But, if you've got a lender that's got bad reviews, or a title company, or a real estate agent, it's across the board.
Yes.
Just look at the reviews and see what people have to say about it.
For sure. One of the other things I thought was very, very interesting, and I've started to hear it a little bit more, is the whole concept of days on market. And everybody knows that forever and a day, that if a house sits on the market for a long time, then buyers think that there's something wrong with it. In our area, it is not at all uncommon to see a house sitting on the market 90 to 180 days. Not at all. And in fact, I've been advising my clients that those homes that sell in less than 30 days, those are kind of the exception right now.
Right.
And that days on market is where really I think we started to maybe go wrong, because it doesn't really reflect the condition of the home. It's a reflection of our market.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Because I still have buyers that are of the mindset, if it's been on the market for a long time, they may not want to go see it because there's something wrong with it. Also, unfortunately, buyers tend to think, oh, the seller's probably really, really negotiable.
Oh.
I'm going to lowball this offer.
Yeah.
And some people are, but not really. Not
right.
No matter what the year was, it's never been a good idea to lowball it.
Right.
It just doesn't, sometimes you can't even recover. Sometimes the sellers get their feelings hurt so badly, they don't even want to talk to you about a counteroffer.
Right.
I think, too, this is where, you know, when you've got a house that's maybe a little overpriced, maybe that's an idea that right. it's been on the market for a long time.
But this is where if you have a good agent, they will yeah. help you through this. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, and help you decide, okay, here's maybe, you know, this range is what you should be looking at based on the comps and based on, you know, all of the true information, not just the, hey, I want to go in and lowball and see if I can get it. Okay, well,
maybe, you know, maybe they need a different person to work with. Yeah, that's wasting everybody's time.
Exactly.
The other thing, too, is if you think about it, buyers are moving a little bit more slowly these days. They're being very picky because there is choice. There's a lot of inventory on the market. So they can, if they are looking within a certain price range, they might be taking their time. You know, I remember when it was not unheard of that you went on showings in evenings or on weekends because everybody was working. I mean, there was a period of time that I felt like nobody had a job or everybody had a flex schedule because I was showing property at all hours of every single day.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that was, I mean, that helped. That was just probably an indication of the market.
Right. When it was crazy.
Everybody's like, I got to take off work because I got to go find this house.
Yeah.
But the process is a little bit more slower. It's a little bit more balanced. I mean, we're in a buyer's market.
Mm-hmm.
Buyers definitely have the advantage. However, like we talked about on our last podcast, it's a very interesting dynamic for it to be a buyer's market, but buyers aren't moving.
Exactly. I mean, it just doesn't normally work like that. No. But.
The other part, too, is that buyers have so many more choices when it comes to, I don't have to, like, I can take my time. I can sleep on this. Mm-hmm. Or I can take a couple days. It's Murphy's Law, though. I tell all my buyers, the moment you find a house you like, there's four other people who probably like it, too.
Right.
So don't take too long.
I did have a couple of files that had backups.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
That never happens. But again, it has to do with, you know, finding the right buyer and the feel yeah. of, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just random how that happens.
These days, a lot seems random. But, you know, sellers are more willing to do some repairs that might be needed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, a home can be on the market for a long time for many, many, many reasons. And I think that the days on market probably is not a good indication of a home's condition. It's just the indication of what's going on in the market. So.
And I would hope, though, that agents would be telling their clients that. But, you know, I feel like so often now, you know, these buyers are out there and they are on the internet and they are finding mm-hmm. all these houses mm-hmm. and they are skipping over some because of that. And I 100%. Think that, you know, definitely affects everybody.
Oh, for sure. And there is a true thing. I mean, everybody gets fatigued at some point. And sellers get fatigued just having their homes on the market.
For yeah, it's a painful time. Process.
It's such a disappointing, if you need to sell mm-hmm. in order to buy, to move on to what you need, or you just need to sell. You know, we also heard that a lot of people's buying decisions were made because the interest rates were so low and they could afford to go ahead and buy before they sold. Or maybe buying was just because I wanted to. I didn't have to.
Right.
And we don't see that very much anymore.
Or at all.
Yeah. The change has kind of been like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to sell my house because I don't actually have to sell it.
Right. And where would I go? And how would I, you know, yes. I can't go up in the market. And we've talked about this multiple times about the fact, you know, if you've got a low interest rate, you cannot afford to go, mm-mm. you know, two steps up in a house and get a 6.5 interest rate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, literally you can't qualify.
No. Well, and let's be true. Let's be honest. There needed to be some shift in the market. We could mm-hmm. not, we can't sustain it too high of interest rates or too low of interest rates. That's really not
ideal for anything.
No, mm-hmm. It doesn't do anybody any good. So I don't know if it's just, I don't know how much longer it's going to take for people to get used to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they will.
Right.
Like, this is not doom and gloom. There is light at the end of the tunnel. We have been here before.
Yes.
And whether we loved 2019 or not, again, we've been here before.
Right.
We know what we need to do. We know yeah. how to navigate all this. I love not having such a frenetic housing market where everybody feels like they don't know if they're coming or going. So.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding. There were days where we're like, okay, we cannot do this anymore. You know, I mean,
yeah.
we would open so many files and I would tell the girls, okay, it can't last much longer. We're going to make it through. Golly, those were some crazy times. But I always feel like it's feast or famine. You know, let's come to a happy medium, but that just doesn't, it doesn't work like that usually. So.
I don't think so. And the great news is that we live in an area of Texas that will continue to grow as long as we have this incredible quality of life.
Right.
I mean, it just, it's really hard to beat.
Yes.
A lot of it, which is why we're still, it's still very attractive to move to the Texas Hill Country.
Yes.
Which is why, you know, think what you will about apartment complexes, but just the apartment, the new apartments alone here in Bernie and
crazy
throughout. Yeah, exactly. Just, it's an indication of how many people are coming to our area.
Yep.
So one of the other things that on a happy note that as things start to change, I guess we can hope that we'd be in a balanced market, but frankly, once interest rates start to go down, buyers better be ready.
Right.
Really
because
ready.
We're going to be right back in that same position
yes.
that we were in where, you know, okay, here's this house. Everybody likes this house. Now the interest rates have dropped. We got five people trying to buy this house.
Yes. And a seller is going to be way less negotiable on coming down on price. I don't know that sellers will necessarily say, fine, I want more money.
Right.
But it's going to be harder because you're going to have more competition.
I did have a lender the other day that was talking about the fact that, you know, if they had clients, if it was their job to, you know, give out advice or whatever, that they would be saying, now's the time to buy.
Yes.
Right now. Because right now you can get a deal from a seller because they are ready. There's so much inventory. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got your pick of the litter out here. Go find what you want.
Yeah.
Purchase it. Get it at a 6.5 interest rate. And then when the rates drop, you refinance. Now all of a sudden you've got the house you want. You got it at a good price. And now you're about to get a good interest rate. It's the best of all worlds. But it is hard to convince buyers that that's where it's going. Because just like you said, they told us that in 23 and here we are in 25.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get that, you know, buyers are very hesitant. I get that. But the minute that it all, you know, works itself out, we're going to be right back where we were and buyers are going to have a hard time getting those houses. And there you go.
And
but it's the nature of the beast.
Well, I think so. And that whole shoulda, coulda, woulda, I talked to so many people who are like, oh, I should have bought 5 years ago. Well, yeah, buying real estate, with the best time was 5 years ago. The second best time is today.
Yes, exactly.
Period. Because you might pay a little bit more in interest or you might pay a little bit more now versus price. But getting the exact home that meets all of your needs or ticks almost all of the boxes.
That's priceless.
It really, really is.
That's a tagline for something.
There you go.
That's priceless.
We're going to make t-shirts off of that one.
Perfect.
Yeah, because sellers are willing to... Not all. I mean, you still have those people that are like, well, let's just test the waters a little bit. Let's just raise it higher. And frankly, that's just not a good idea. It was never a good idea. I mean, I say that. 2021, you could have asked whatever you wanted.
Right.
Good job.
but we're not there. We're not there now.
No,
so.
And I think that was the biggest my biggest takeaway was that I think we'd all, we all got a little bit used to what things used to be like and we forgot what normal was.
Right. And reality's been a hard, bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and everybody's got to do a little bit more hustling.
Yeah.
Buyers, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you need to be pre-qualified before you even start looking at a house. That's my unsolicited advice. Like, don't even get in an agent's car to look at a home until you know what you can afford for sure. Because that's just the road to heartache.
Yeah.
And wasting your time. And everybody else's. So
and not being satisfied. I mean, you know, when you start looking at $1 million homes and then, I can only afford 325 or, you know, I mean, I know that that's very much exaggerated, but there is a difference in the level of homes from $1 million to 750 to 500. There's a difference.
Yes.
So if you start in that 750 and you can only afford 500, it makes it hard to find a house that you are okay with.
Yes, 100%. And a lot of times it boils down to the type of neighborhood.
Yes.
And you just have to know that going in. And again, a good realtor is going to try their best to talk you through that.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to do it, I mean, there's only so much.
And realistic expectations, that always helps, which I think that's kind of an oxymoron when you're talking about real estate.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But I mean, we've talked about this on the last podcast too, that lenders want to make money as well. So it's also really important to have that lender that you can walk into their office and sit down and talk to them and find solutions because there are solutions. And one of those solutions may actually be a brand spanking new home where they're going to give you $20,000
right
on top of the money you have. And they're going to make it easier for you to get into that home.
Right.
And afford that home, because nobody wants to be a house poor.
No.
I think all in all, that's pretty much kind of where we are in a nutshell. Again, it's super important for buyers to understand that they have choice. It's really important for sellers to understand that they need to be competitive. It's just also really important to know that we're going to be okay. We're going to make it.
We'll make it.
We will make it.
It's painful. We know that. But again, this isn't someplace we haven't been before and not someplace we won't be again. I mean, it's the nature of the beast.
You know, I almost forgot to mention this because it's something that we're seeing more and more on the buying side, is that it's a very... The average first-time home buyer is between 32 and 36, which is much older than we thought.
I did not know that.
Some experts say that it's creeping up into people up for their 40s. But
that's crazy.
I thought so too, because usually that first-time home buyer is in their mid-20s. They've just gotten their career going. But one of the most interesting things that came out of this information session was the sheer number of parents who are providing down payment or just payment assistance, leveraging the equity out of their own homes.
Yes.
To help their children get into homes.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting, because that really, to me, sounded like, okay, there's an economic challenge. That's an issue. The older we get, the less we need to be shelling out money for that kind of stuff and focused on our retirement.
Right.
Obviously, if a parent can do it, they can do it. Parents are deciding, okay, great, I will leverage whatever inheritance I think I was going to be able to give you now.
Right.
So you can use it, and I can see how you use it versus after I pass, then I don't know what you do with it.
Yeah.
I know. Again, we're not financial analysts.
Right. Well, I can speak directly to this because, you know, when I go into the closing room, well, twofold. Number one, I really don't feel like the average first-time home buyer that walks in our door is nearing 40. I feel like they're late 20s, probably, mm-hmm. Maybe early 30s. But again, we're in a little bit different market because, right. I mean, you don't walk into Bernie, Texas and buy a starter home, right? Yeah. I mean, we're right up there at the top.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I think on a couple, well, several podcasts ago, we talked about that there for a while I was seeing so many files where the family was doing everything within themselves, right? So the parents were selling their home to the daughter,
yeah.
right? And financing her, mm-hmm. and then buying a house for the son, and, you know, which is kind of what you're talking about. And
yeah.
that is still going strong.
Yes.
I will tell you that I've got a couple going right now where we're dealing with that. I also have a couple, yeah, I think I already talked about estates and that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, that,
yeah.
that we've got that there, that in these kind of down markets, people find a way.
Yes.
They find a way to buy the house that they want, or to, you know, add the third bedroom. And those are the things that we've talked about previously. But it's still, every single month, I do the same stuff over and over, mm-hmm. where people are figuring it out and making a way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, seller financing is huge these days.
Yes, which used to, I mean, we didn't do that forever. I think I mentioned this, assumptions. Have I already talked about assumptions?
Yes.
And here is something that came up this week that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
So this is kind of off our topic, but anyway, I'm going to throw it out there because I've had multiple phone calls about it, and this came from an underwriting bulletin. All right. So here's the scenario. My father, let's say, and I live in the same house.
Okay.
He, before he passes, signs a deed over to me. It's just, hey, you know, Gerald Anthon deeds Ashley Pfeiffer this house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We both live in it. I don't file that deed because I want to keep his homestead, right? He's living there. He's fine.
Yeah.
His taxes are frozen. I want to keep those frozen taxes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So here in the scenario is what happened. So he passed. A few weeks after he passed, they call it a desk drawer deed or something like that. I pull it out and I go to the courthouse and I record it.
Okay.
Well, guess what? In between his passing and me filing that deed, there were estate taxes. Well, actually, it was a federal income tax lien that was put on there. Okay. So the date of the deed, keep in mind, was a long time ago because he was still alive.
Right.
Right. So I get ready to sell that house, and that lien attaches to that house because it was filed prior to that conveyance document.
Oh, geez.
Okay. And that is heart-wrenching.
Yes.
Right. Because that's generally what happens is the child has paid for that house. Not always, but, you know, in this case, the child paid for it. The dad was just living with them, but they were taking advantage of those, you know, tax break or whatever. And so that is bad in all scenarios.
Yes.
But in the interim, I have had several people calling in. Again, I'm not an attorney. I just want to throw that out there. Transfer on death deeds are filed prior to the passing of the person. Okay, so let's say that my dad had done a transfer on death deed, gave it to me, we filed it of record, so he still is entitled. You have to check, you know, with your tax office, because every tax office, you know, whatever, but, you know, generally if it's a transfer on death deed, that means that the transfer does not happen until that person's death, so they get to keep those exemptions.
That's good to know.
Right? But then that potentially might have alleviated that lien being enforceable, but not necessarily. You know, I don't know that for sure. I'd have to check with the examiner and all of that. But I mean, there are just so many things that if you don't know what you don't know, and if you don't know about some of these things, how can you talk to your attorney? How can you talk to the people that would be able to help you with it? So that's just, you know, something that I came across this week and I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
You know, that's just ugly. It's an ugly scenario all the way around, but...
And sadly, that's maybe going to continue to be one of those things, like, you don't even think to ask the question until you're in the situation.
And it's too late.
Way too late.
That's the thing. And that's why we harp on surrounding yourself with people who know and good people that you can go in and talk to. And this is one of the reasons why. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I feel like if these people would have had somebody who, you know, kind of knew the scenario and knew their specific instance, because everybody has a little quirk or a little something different you know, makes it not just the standard black and white.
Right.
You know, if you've got good people, then they can help you kind of navigate through that.
And, you know, there are some things in real estate that are black and white, but again, we work with people.
Yeah.
No one is black and white.
Nope. And it's messy.
And it can get really interesting, but, I'm excited. I'm hopeful for the outlook for the rest of this year. Because we can't, I mean, I think we're at the bottom.
Well,
all we can do is go.
Don't say that too loud.
I know.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
I'm not perpetually positive.
I know,
person.
Me too.
And I still think that, I mean, I think that people are going to get the homes they need and sellers are going to be able to move on. There's just still a little bit of
angst.
Yeah. Stop watching the news.
Yeah. I mean, everywhere I go, people say, oh, I'm going to see you here pretty soon. We're going to get a new house, or I'm going to see you pretty soon because, you know, we need this or what. And I'm like, just the time is now. Go do it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, COVID's over. And like you said, surround yourself with a good team of people, good realtor, good lender, a good title company that'll answer the phone and give you some information, and just be mindful that sometimes it's not exactly what you want to hear, but the goal is always to help give you enough information to make the right decision for yourself. So
exactly.
That was all I had for today.
Okay. I think that's fabulous. All right. So tell them again where they can contact us.
So if anybody has any questions, wants to get further information on anything we talked about, you can send us a message through our Facebook page at the closing table. You can email us at closingtable@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at closingtable. Yes, and I mean, if you can't find us on those, feel free to contact somebody at Reggae Rocks Kendall County. They know how to find us.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Exactly right. All right. Well, it was good chatting with you. And until next time.